when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which is dedicated to creating listening efficient podcasts and driving innovative, high quality content that helps reduce the environmental impact as well as the cost to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Molly. And now I will fund you.
I know. I feel like I kind of want to have like one of our shout outs be like hilarious, like venture financing related
pitch phrases or something.
Yeah. Like yeah. they have like Mike Akins of annual recurring revenue,
annual recurring Mike Akins, which if they back us on an annual plan would be true.
He's raising 15 million Gabriel Cohens on a convertible note.
All right. Let's get into the things that are things. Both of my things are things I heard people say this week.
Okay.
So it's like, he said that thing. And I'm like, is that a thing? And I went and I looked it up. And both of them are things, not necessarily new things. Both of them a couple of years old.
Yeah.
But I heard them and felt like, okay, they've permeated into the mainstream consciousness. The first one was, he boomed me.
Okay.
I heard Justin Robert Young say this on his Politics, Politics, Politics podcast. He was referring to someone calling him out for getting the date wrong. He boomed me. Originally refers to LeBron James ranting about Jason Tatum in the 2018 Eastern Conference NBA Finals.
Huh. I have never heard that usage before or now. So to the extent that it is a thing, it is a new thing to me. And I kind of like it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's boomed a great way. Me. Like it's a great way to say like, you got me. But right. But bigger, right?
Without saying you dunked on me, which is, of course, the only thing that anybody ever says.
Which is literally how it started.
Which is
because
actually,
Tatum dunked on LeBron.
Right.
And LeBron said, he got me. That effing Tatum boomed me.
I mean, that's amazing. He but now me. And now it's back and we're saying it.
I guess.
I feel like we need to poll the listeners. This is almost like a thing and a thing check at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a thing call, but a thing check on level, right?
You boomed me. Let's just let that. You know what? Honestly, too, let's embrace the thingitude of this because dunking on is kind of over. Like it was so over. It's like it's been over the whole time because we didn't even bother to talk about how saying, you know, you dunked on this and you dunked on that and whatever is a total thing. Which some would argue was a miss, but I would say we were just waiting for he boomed me to come around.
He dunked on me, though. Like that goes back to the 90s. Like, yeah. You know, dunking was
forever.
New in the 70s and then like became a phrase of casual conversation somewhere in the 80s, I'm guessing.
Probably. Yeah,
it certainly was current 20 years, 30 years ago. So
He
boomed me. That one only goes back to 2018.
I really like it. And I like the idea that we'll be having its moment now because it's new, it's different, it's fun to say.
Yeah.
I like it.
I said that hockey would be a thing and Molly boomed me.
Oh, come on. Be fair. Everybody boomed you.
yeah, it anyway. Wasn't 15. That's a good point.
It's funny because I have had this particular next topic in the bullpen for several weeks now. And it is, in fact, so relevant exactly at this moment because we have started my most hated month, February. And at this exact moment that I'm speaking to you, I don't have any water in my house and I won't have any water in my house for a whole night because of a series of landscaping related situations.
Oh, no.
And all I want to do is run away to a spa, which is so funny because the only spa that anyone ever talks about anymore is Rancho La Puerta.
I love this because this is quintessential Molly bringing something to my attention that I don't know that I would run across, but as soon as you do, it's everywhere.
Especially in California, because Rancho La Puerta is a resort that is located in Mexico. But it's not very far. I think you fly into Puerto Vallarta. Now, full disclosure, I've never been there, but I literally think I hear about it so much, and it is a thing among, this is actually, Tom, your comment is super appropriate because it's also a thing among women of a certain age. Mm-hmm. And I think like well-off women in their 40s and 50s are totally going to Rancho La Puerta either for a solo trip, just like a solocation getaway, or with a couple of girlfriends. And I'm like a little torn on it because on the one hand, it sounds so awesome because everybody talks about it. And I literally have at least two friends who go every single year, like a wow. pilgrimage uh-huh. to Rancho La Puerta. But also, as a woman of a certain age who's also just kind of into like action movies and sci-fi, like it's like a juice bar and like lots of high. It's like a wellness all-inclusive retreat.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm a little torn on it, but I will say it is like, and it's a very Bay Area thing in particular, but I think probably all of California. But honestly, I think it's just when you look up like, you know, best all-inclusive wellness resort and whatever, like this is always the one. And for some reason it seems to have just like even gotten more popular since some friends have been telling me that they go all the time.
Well, you thought about including it in last week's show. And at the time mm-hmm. I was like, I want to learn more about that. I don't know about it. And in the intervening week, I've seen it. I've seen it mentioned, and it was probably being mentioned. And I was like, I don't know what they mean by that, but it stuck out to me. It feels to me a little like Taos, New Mexico did back in the 90s.
Totally.
Because I had that same thing where some woman of a certain age said something about, oh, Taos, you got to go to Taos. Taos is great. And I was like, oh, well, what's Taos? What's Taos about? And then it was the same thing. It was wellness. And back then it was New Age, which was still new. And and this feels a little like the 2020s version of that.
I mean, I think it totally is. Like, they don't serve any wine or alcohol in the dining hall. There is like some wine outside, but like it's super. You go and you do yoga and you go on a hike at 6 a.m. and you have like, you know, mango over slices of coconut. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm sure it's great and I'm sure I would actually have a great time. And that's probably why I put it on my reminders at some point. It is totally not only though a thing, but a like really specific kind of thing that I'm not sure. It's like there's this clothing brand, Eileen Fisher, and I've always admired it, but wondered when I was going to be old enough to wear it. Uh-huh. I guess old enough and rich enough, kind of. Like, it's super expensive, and I think Rancho La Puerta is not cheap either. But I'm having that question too. I'm like, when am I going to be like old enough and into wellness enough and rich enough to just rock the Rancho La Puerta?
Because you're talking about a few thousand for a week right there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be clear, I looked it up one time 2 years ago or something. It was like, no.
But you can, detox. The word detox must come up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I could detox. I'm going to go to the website now. Not that I'm shopping, but yeah. But so tell us, if you are outside of California, tell us if this is something that you hear about all the freaking time, the way that I do. I mean, especially literally at one point,
if you're outside California in Rancho La Puerta while listening to the show.
Oh my God, please tell us. I also think that it came up in the news recently because they announced residences.
That's probably why it popped up on my radar too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Cause they're probably advertising their $1.5 million residences.
$1.5 million. Oh, that'll get you a 3-2 ranch in Van Nuys.
I know. I mean, so would you rather have a 3-2 ranch in Van Nuys or a permanent residence on a wellness resort? Yeah, right? Tough one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to my next one, which is one I heard Bryce Castillo, the producer of Chord Killers, say this week. Trying to give, you know, proper attribution to where these things bubble up from.
which podcast you heard it on.
Yeah. But industry plant as a term to refer very casually to someone being essentially fake grassroots. So the idea is somebody appears to have been an overnight sensation. Oh, they were just making their music and putting it on up on TikTok and YouTube. And then suddenly now they're huge and they've got a deal. And then people say, no, that's an industry plant. That they had record deal. They had record backing to get them popular in the first place. The poster child target of potentially unfair usage of this term is Billie Eilish, at least according to Bubblegum Club. This is that a lot of people accuse her of being an industry plant because she's from LA. She comes from a family that was in the industry. Her brother writes her songs. But there's also a lot of people that defend her and say, yeah, but she's also really good. And she could have had all the backing, like actual overt backing in the world and not been as successful if she wasn't as good as she is, and she didn't get very obvious backing at the beginning, et cetera, because of the way she looks or whatever. So there's a lot of debate around Billie Eilish and whether this term is applicable to her or not. And there's a lot of other people try to apply it to Lil Nas X or basically anybody that's popular that gets popular fast. So I'm not sure who really qualifies for it, but it's kind of a thing you throw around like industry plant, you know.
That's so interesting because do you remember way, way, way back in time when this is a phrase that maybe was not then, but could have been attributed to like Beyonce?
Because she...
Do you remember that that's where Beyonce started? Like she was in Destiny's Child, but it was like...
In a girl band, yeah. Or girl
but
group.
No, it was a girl band that was like formed by her dad.
Yeah.
Like she was the anchor of a girl group that was, you know, so it doesn't... I think it both can simultaneously exist and not take away from talent at all. Well, like Rebecca Black, I think, might have been in that category too.
Sure. And some people use industry plant not as a way to disparage the talent, but to disparage the mythos. Right, the mythos around somebody might be like, oh, they came up from nowhere. It's like, well, no, Beyonce didn't come up from nowhere. Doesn't
it's like
make
you got a leg
any
up, but
less
it doesn't
talented.
Mean you suck.
Yeah,
right.
But I now remembering that you reminded me that when she was first kind of going solo, there was that backlash of like, well, she's really not that good. It's just that her dad.
It's
blah,
just
blah,
that
blah,
her
blah,
dad. Blah blah blah.
And
blah.
Turns out, no, she really is that good.
Yeah.
Like I think totally. The years have proved that theory wrong. But industry plant could still apply. Which is like, oh, she didn't come from nowhere. Although I don't think the mythos on Beyonce is that, you know, she was an overnight sensation or anything like that. Whereas industry plant more refers to the Lil Nas X.
Got it. Like someone who all of a sudden appears on the scene and you're like, wow. And it's like, yeah, exactly. Someone
or Justin
put
Bieber
them there.
Back in the day who was like, came up on YouTube. And then people are like, who's this Canadian kid? Oh my gosh. Right.
Yep.
And so people are like, nah, that's all not, none of that's true. He was an industry plant.
Which is so funny because like that assumes that there's any such thing as an organic arrival on the scene. Like nobody gets famous organic. Nobody like,
no, yeah, yeah.
You know, to cross that final barrier from talent, work, skill to fame. Sometimes you don't even have to have the work, right? Somebody there's the version where someone comes and assembles the boy band and they just pluck you out and you might not even be that talented. Then there's the version where you're really talented and you work hard, but there's the industry thing that puts you
that
at the next level.
You. Yeah.
Either way, it's a freaking great phrase, I think. Yeah. Not to belabor the point because it's an excellent thing spot and a super useful phrase.
Yeah. So good to know because when Bryce said it earlier this week, I asked him, I was like, wait, what's that? He's like, oh, that's, you know, it just means that they didn't really like build themselves up, that there was an invisible hand boosting them or something like that.
Yeah.
Not his exact words, but that was the idea.
Oh my God. I love it. I almost feel like I need a content warning ahead of the next item, even though it doesn't mean anything that you think it means. But if you haven't heard of it, you may be shocked when I say that my next thing is fingerboarding.
Which
causes
just
for a
hold
reaction.
On everybody because it's if you haven't already heard of it, it's not what you might think.
Not even close to what you might. It literally means a little tiny finger size skateboard.
That's so cute.
That people do tricks on with their fingers. So it's like, I mean, I'm not even joking. Like, and I can't believe I'm saying that this is a thing, but it's enough of a thing that there are bajillions of TikTok videos about it. I just was talking to a guy in a work meeting who was like, oh yeah, my son has a business where he's like making these.
The little skateboards,
because they're just like teeny tiny replicas of real skateboards, and they work, and they have to work, and they even have the, like, you know, scratchy top, because people use them to do like finger ollies and like all these little tricks. And they put the videos online, and there's even like contests. There's something called the Fast Fingers Contest Series.
Fingerboarding, which is hysterical. Having a moment. This is,
it's amazing. Having a moment.
It's like model trains.
It kind of is, but like cool skateboarders.
Cooler. Yeah.
And maybe kids who like don't have any athletic skills. I don't know.
I remember kids in school having these little miniature skateboards.
Yep.
But it seems like it's not only is it having a moment, but also way cooler looking than they were back then.
I mean, I guess so, right? But it's funny because it's like, you literally, that sound is me pulling up TikTok to look up a fingerboarding video. Because it, on the one hand, it looks cool, and there's kids in these little skater clothes that are doing these. But I mean,
this is for anybody who's just learning how to fingerboard and wants to learn how to do an ollie. Easiest way to start is to start by doing it on your leg. Just
roll it. I mean, well, because this kid is—he's in still have to be able to do the cool
flips,
skater gear,
right?
It's, yeah, you got to do less the flips about the tricks.
You know, reattaching yourself to the board like in real boarding, where you're in the air and coming down, because you obviously have more control over your hand, but you still mm-hmm. gonna be able to do some of the flips and stuff.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it takes dexterity and all mm-hmm. of that, but it just cracks me up that there's all these videos of kids in like cool skater clothes showing you like, no, I'm gonna show you how to do this sick flip and ollie and then a double twist and a turn and whatever, and then they get out this like teeny little toy.
And they are like, I could not do this in real life or I would be in the Olympics, but right. I can do it with my fingers really well.
Confiscated in class, says App Porter. Yep. I mean, 100% there. Yeah.
What is our fascination with very tiny things? Very tiny versions of real larger things.
I don't know, man, but it is very funny.
That's so good. That's a good spot.
It's just a fun one. It legitimately is a fun one. By the way, I just got to go back a couple episodes and give Tom the biggest nailed it in the entire world for crocheting balaclavas.
Really? Oh, good.
Yep. Like, that just seemed like the most random discovery. And I was literally in the car with my son, and he was like, can I borrow $15 because I have to pay my friend because she's crocheting me a hat? And I was like, okay, first of all, what? And second, is it a balaclava? And he's like, oh yeah, maybe. And this is after our super duper Gen Z producer on a phone call for work said, I said something about crocheting being a big thing right now. She's like, it's a huge thing. I'm crocheting a balaclava. That happened.
Wow.
That freaking happened.
And you were like, well, of course you are. What else would you crochet?
Yeah. I was like, are you a plant?
Are you an industry plant? You just boomed me. I'm headed to Rancho La Puerta now to get over there.
To recover. And I'm bringing my fingerboard and hoping they don't confiscate it.
Let's get to your things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Brian wrote in to let us know that we finally thing-firmed something he sent us a little bit ago, because he told us about it before we put it on the show. This is my fault. Brian says, hey guys, in the most recent episode, you talked about the CEO of being a thing. Well, you already talked about that back in 2020. It was episode 105. And producer Rich looked into this to find out, well, why does Brian know for certain the actual episode number? Well, it's because Brian emailed us back then, and we read his email in which he said that CEO of was a thing, and also he said, I think if you two had CEO titles, Tom would be CEO of podcasts and Molly would be CEO of using the phrase not for nothing.
Okay, that's amazing. To be fair, does 2020 even count? Did that happen?
I don't think 2020 is real, Brian. I mean, I don't doubt you emailed, but the year itself no longer exists. So,
like, do we have to be responsible for things that we did or said in 2020? I mean, isn't that just a throwaway?
There's Yeti, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, Chicago, and 2020. None of those.
And the year 2020. Yeah. Okay, that is really funny. Thank you. Good catch. That's why we have the email address.
Yeah.
That's why we have feedback at itsathing.me, so that all of you can help all of us be better. So much better. Chris wrote in with a wrap question. Hi, Tom, Molly, and Rich. Love the show. Longtime listener, first time writer. Bah, bah, bah. You mentioned drill in your last episode. I remember in the 90s. There it is. I remember in the 90s hearing about horrorcore rap. Mm. At least I think it was in the 90s. Anyway, how is drill different from horrorcore? Well, one of them you can say and the other one you can't.
Well, probably
the simplest answer there.
I don't know enough about horrorcore.
I've never heard of that. Yeah. Just try to say it again. Horrorcore rap.
But there's probably all kinds of differences when you look close. That's why drill is different than grime, is different than hardcore rap. But they probably have lots of similarities too.
In 2020, according to Wikipedia, horrorcore found a small revival around the UK drill scene.
You're not wrong,
there,
Chris.
Is some overlap. Yeah. It seems like horrorcore incorporates a little bit more horror. Wow. Can we just horrorcore incorporates a little more horror? I'm very proud of that sentence right now.
So good.
But it is in the, a lot more violent content and imagery, gruesome, ghoulish, unsettling, or slasher film, splatter film-esque, whereas I think drill is just like nihilistic and depressing.
Mm. It's a subset. It takes a piece of horrorcore and refines it.
But if there were a Venn diagram of upsetting rap that you probably don't really want to listen to before you go to bed, it sounds like horrorcore and drill would overlap.
What was
the
sentence again?
Horrorcore incorporates more horror.
So good. I'm going to start saying that every
radio professional people.
That Charlie dude on Calendly said, "Hi, Rich, Molly, and Tom. Calendly sounds like Microsoft's bookings app. I've been using bookings to let students book meetings with me for almost 2 years, and I love it. Is Calendly the personal and non-Outlook alternative to bookings? Y'all rock."
I've never heard of Microsoft's bookings app, which is so Microsoft, unfortunately.
Yeah. And also, no one wrote a rant about Microsoft bookings app. So,
yeah, totally. Let's just say, yes, it is not just the personal and non-Outlook. It is the like cool. It's the hip. It's the new like techie. It's the techie bros.
Calendly
version.
Is the eye rolling. Oh, my gosh, you have an iPod to bookings Zune.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the new kind. It's the newer
works
version.
Fine. Yeah.
I didn't know Microsoft had a booking app. Fascinating. And then finally, Aaron writes in on Audis and says, just another data point on this. I bought, well, leased an Audi last year at a dealer who sells both brands. I drove a couple of BMWs and then a couple Audis. Afterward, the sales guy asked what I thought. And I said, I like both of the Audis more than both of the BMWs. He replied, I've been hearing that a lot lately. So maybe it's just that Audis are getting better or BMWs are getting worse or both.
Something's up. Yeah.
Something's I got to say, like, I think that it is. Well, I think it's some of both. Yes. I think Audis have been for a long time, like super nice and a little boring. And BMWs have been super fun to drive and like so, super sporty. But BMWs have gotten bloated.
Okay.
And the drive is not, they're all like too big. And there's kind of too many models. And Audis, I think, have stayed really sleek and maybe gotten a little more sporty. I don't really know.
Audis have definitely gotten more sporty. They introduced that whole new class. Like the A class is still pretty similar to what it's always been. But they have the S class, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Audi. S is because the S is like the cool sport version of
and
all
so
the other ones.
That probably drives way better and is nifty and new, whereas the BMWs feel old already because they've been around forever. And if you're saying they're getting all bloated, then yeah, that makes
it's kind of true. And the interior never changes. It's almost like how every time when you get a new iPhone, you just transfer over your stuff and then it's just a damn iPhone again. So it's kind of boring and takes the fun of the new out of it.
Yeah.
Like BMW is a little bit stuck in the interiors.
When I went from my iPhone 10, the X, iPhone 10, to the iPhone 12, it didn't feel like I got a new phone.
It doesn't feel like that
size.
At all.
Yeah.
Right. If the size is similar and then you transfer over all the same settings and stuff, it's like a little bit of a letdown almost.
The biggest deal was battery lasted longer and the processor was faster, which is makes it worth the money to me, but it didn't look any different.
Right.
It didn't feel like, oh, I got a brand new phone. Yeah.
It takes some of the thrill out of it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I went to the iPhone 12 mini and and that was great. Right. It was really distinctive because it's a different body style. Uh-huh. It's the like old square, cool, like iPhone 5 style. And it's super tiny. Mm-hmm. So that was actually pretty delightful as opposed to the parade of iPhones that had come before for the past few years. I was like,
Yeah. Plus, you just stick it in a case anyway. I mean, when...
yeah, that's true.
All right, let's get to our shout outs in honor of having 16 shout out patrons. Today's shout outs are based on Roger Ebert's review of the film 16 Candles.
I love this so much.
Now, there first of all, no, I love no that spoilers we have, in this, by the way.
I love that we have 16 people supporting us at the shout out level. That is amazing. Patreon.com/shout out. It's a thing. Patreon.com/it's a thing is where you can support us at any level. The fact that we have 16 is incredible. And also, this is going to be so fun. I can't even believe it already.
I will begin.
Okay.
If 16 Patrons begins to sound a little like an adolescent raunch movie, maybe it's because I haven't suggested the style in which it's acted and directed. This is a fresh and cheerful Paul Dow with a goofy sense of humor and a good ear for how Laura Abel talks. It doesn't hate David Grizzly Smith or condescend to him the way a lot of teenage Morris Jones do. Instead, it goes for human comedy and finds it in the everyday life of Benjamin Forrest in its story.
The movie stars Gabrielle Cohen as Miranda Janelle, a bright-eyed teenager who pulls off the difficult trick of playing a character who takes everything too seriously without ever taking herself too seriously. The movie is told mostly from her point of view, and it's like Valley Lee Price. It's about a young Kevin Sill who thinks a lot about sex, but who is shy and inexperienced and unsure and touchingly committed to concepts like true love. She has a crush on a senior boy named Jake Woods, played by Mike Akins, who looks like James C. Smith, of course, and doesn't even know she's alive. Meanwhile, the geek, Eric Duncan, is in love with her. Also, there are complications involving Andrew Bradley's stuck-up girlfriend, Joe Hood's impossible grandparents, various older and younger brothers and sisters, and a foreign exchange student named Louis St. Amour, who apparently has come to this country to major in partying.
I mean, aren't you glad you backed at the shout-out level now? Because, seriously.
Seriously!
Some shows just be like... thanks. Whereas you get this.
Some shows just be like, thanks. But not us. Not us. I'm going to say, so Paul Dow and Laura Abel, welcome. You are the newest of the shout out level patrons. And we are so freaking thrilled to have you, especially because it gave us this.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. So good. How do you do it, Ms. Travelino?
Absolutely amazing. You can become a member, like I said, if it's a thing. You will get access to cool stuff like our Discord and ad-free RSS feed and more. Patreon.com/it's a thing. Just so you know, we're testing a level that could include some sort of behind-the-scenes video just for fun. If you think you might have some interest in that, go ahead and drop us a line. Let us know.
Yeah, that line would be an electronic mail address known as feedback@it'sathing.me.
You could send a line by carrier pigeon. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a Thing can be reached by mail at 11870 Santa Monica Boulevard, Suite 106551, Los Angeles, California, 90025.
You can fax your It's a Thing notations to 1-555-406-213.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.